Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
There are very faithful church members here in online as well. So I want for them to be able to hear you. Good morning, church family.
Good morning.
Much better. Thank you so much. For their sake, it's very important for them to know, even though we are separated by distance, but we are worshiping together. For those of you that have decided to come here today to have in-person service, we'd like to wish you a very blessed Sabbath, Abba's Day, since Genesis 2, verse 2. If you go visit Genesis 2, verse 2, it has been a happy Sabbath since then. And for how long this happy Sabbath is going to last?
Forever.
Forever. There is no such thing as a bad Sabbath. Because a bad Sabbath is no Sabbath. So all Sabbaths have to be happy. Because the Sabbath, as we mentioned a few weeks ago, it is an open door for us to have this wonderful relationship with each other, God's children, and also with Abba. A few weeks ago, and of course, Abba's Day, I like always to emphasize, because I'm amazed how many people see the word Sabbath and don't see Abba. It's amazing. Now, here in this picture, it's about your church bulletin. You have the Bible, you have the open door. In the back, you have the light shining over the Ten Commandments. If you remember, 3 weeks ago, we had a message, and the message was entitled, I Give You My Word. That is God's saying to us. He gave us His Word. Now, after that, we went to talk about the law of God that reflects His character. God is love. It was the Ten Commandments. And then, of course, today, last week we did the open door, just because we open our in-person service. So we decided to preach about that, because Jesus is our open door. We do not have access to the Father unless it's through Christ. John 14, verse 6. And He says, I am the way, the truth, and life. Anyone who wants to go to the Father needs to come through Me. And today's message title, I Give You My Life. I want you to hear this as Jesus Christ is saying to you. But I want you to start thinking this moment that everything that Jesus Christ says to us, He meant for us to say to each other as well. That's the level of commitment that in the body of Christ must be. So we need to be able to give our lives to our brother in Christ and sister in Christ. So I give you my life. In the beginning, as you know, God decided to form human beings. And He says, Genesis 1, verse 26, 27, let us make human beings in our own image. And so God took the dust and made a man. But it was not a man yet, until God decided to give His own life to man. How He gave His life to mankind? He put the breath of life in that human being. Then the Lord God took dust from the ground and formed a man from it. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nose, or nostrils, as some version says, and the man became a living being, a living person. Some version says a living soul, because the soul is the whole individual. That is Genesis 2, verse 7, New Century Version. Now, after that, what happened? After He created man, man realized, you know, life is not fun, but all by myself. And says that man was not feeling okay, because he was lonely. So God says, I need to make him a helper. And so man was set to sleep. And as man was sleeping, the most important thing happened to him. He lost a rib. Yes, he lost a rib and got this wall rib. When he woke up, there was Eve right beside him. And God gave life to Adam. Adam gave life to Eve because it was from Adam's life that God brought another life. And then this happened. God married them. And therefore, a man shall leave his father. And by the way, every time I read this, our society today, some people get married and never leave it home. They stay around. The Bible commands us, you know, therefore man shall leave, you know, and make sure. And it's not that we don't want you to, you know, we want our children close by. But it's because you need to have your own life. You need to have your life. You need to grow. You cannot have your parents babysitting you forever because you need to have opportunity to develop well and go on with your life. And also sometimes the in-laws can help a marriage but can break a marriage too. And so some in-laws, they are acting more like outlaws than in-laws. And so the mother and be joined to his wife. What is the purpose of that? So that they can become one life. It says the verse, one flesh, but it means one life. Why they need to become one life? Because their purpose is to continue giving out life, the gift of life. And they did. And we know that Cain, his sisters, and Abel, and so on. And we are here today. We are here. We have life because God gave life to Adam. And Adam passed on that gift to all of us. So we do have life with us. Now, today, very sadly, marriage has been attacked more than any other institution. And I don't want to go into details because this is not the time for it, but I'd like to say this to you. Be careful when you listen to Caesar and try to define what marriage is. When you talk about marriage, go to the Bible, go to the original source, go to the one who created marriage and who defines what marriage is. And so, according to the Bible, it says that two lives becomes one body. The two humans became one. And that means the two lives become one life. And that's what marriage is all about. Now, in the Bible, they use that analogy to also help us to understand. Now, you are the body of Christ. I like to read this verse in a different way. I like to say like this. Now, you are the life of Christ. Basically, that's what the Bible is telling me. You're because, can you see a body without life? It's not a body, it's no body. So a body, you are to have life, it needs to be life, represent life. And members individually, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, New King James Version. Now the fingerprint, is we are always very unique. Each one of us have one. But in Christ, we are all part of the same body. Yes, the church is the body of Christ. It is the bride of Christ. And the bride of Christ needs to be one with Christ. And so the two one becomes one life. Ephesians 1:22, Colossians 1, verse 18. And that's what we find. Now, the body of Christ is a world church. You can find people over here. We can see people from Africa, from the Philippines, from South America, from Asia, from all the continents. We find people from everywhere. That's what represents the body of Christ, is everywhere, because God says, go and fill the earth. And the commandment is the same for us to fill the earth with life, individual identity, as well, they say, as collective responsibility. 1 Corinthians 12. Now, this is the body of Christ. And you are part of it. And the life that God has given to us, this life belongs to us. Remember, it says, the body of Christ, the church. The bride of Christ is the church. And you are part of the church. And the Bible says that Jesus is the head of this body. Now, Paul says in Romans 12, verse 4 to 5, I'm not reading from a New King James Version. He says this, "For as we have many members, but one body." Remember, I'm changing constantly the word body to life. He says, "For as we are many members, but we are one life." Because it's one life that sustains us as one body. And so, but all the members, they not have the same function. We have different purpose. But we need to be connected to that life in order to have life. Every time a member disconnects from the body, that member is dead. So we being many, but we are one life in Christ. Amen to that.
Amen.
And individually members of one another. So the same life we share today. Today, many people, when they celebrate communion, they talk about death. No, today we are here to celebrate life, the gift of life, the fact that God loved us so much that he gave his life so that we can have our lives back. Greater love has no one than this. And what is the love? To give, surrender his life so that we may have life. Can you imagine, as you read the Bible, how many thousands and millions of animals were sacrificed, gave their lives, just to remind all human being, God is going to give you eternal life. They surrender their lives to remind us of this. For God so loved the world, yes, God so loved each one of us, that he gave life, yes, his son, that whoever believes in him or believe in that life should have life forever. So let me read again. For God so loved the world that he gave his own life, that whatever believes in that life gift will keep it forever. And that's John 3:16. Paul says this, "I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind." What happens to us as the body of Christ if a part of our body becomes ill? If we don't take care of that, it contaminates the whole body. It deprives the body from life. So in order to have life, there should not be any divisions in the body of Christ. It says clearly, we have to be united in thought, in purpose. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, New Living Translation. Don't you believe that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Don't you believe that this life that you have is the bread of life, is God himself in you, who lives in you, who was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourselves, because a price was paid for your life with another life. For God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your life. Again, I'm using the word life to replace body here. It says, for God bought you with a high price. So you may honor God with your life, with your body. Because again, let me repeat, the body without the spirit, without life, is nobody. Now, how many of you pray for your food every day? I don't want to embarrass anybody, but if you don't, keep your head down. Don't lie. Okay? But we pray for our food. I pray, even if I take a bite in one single little thing, I pray. I'm thankful because every time I put something in my mouth, I'm giving energy. I'm giving energy, supply my body with energy so life can continue. That's the reason why we eat. And so I want you to look at this verse. Give us this day our daily what?
Daily bread.
It doesn't say bread. It does. But I like to read different today. I'll say, give us this day our daily portion of a real life. Lord, I want to live. That's why I'm thankful that I have the energy to put it, sustain the life that is in me. So every single time that from now on that you want to pray for your food, remember, you are not actually asking God to bless the food. You're asking God, continue to sustain the life that you have given me. I need life, and I need abundantly. Matthew chapter 6, verse 11. Give us life. So when you sit at the table, says, Lord, I need more life. I need life. When you go to bed, ask, Lord, I need life. When you come to church, say, Lord, I need life. Because without life, you are nothing. Amen. Without life, you don't have God. Amen. Without life, you don't have anything else. The gift of life. Then Jesus said, I am the bread that gives life. Basically, that's what he's saying. Every time we pray for the bread, the daily bread, he says, I am that bread that gives life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. And whatever believes in me will never be thirsty ever again. The gift of life. This is my body, my life. This is, I want you to understand when you're taking these symbols, you are taking a gift of life that has been offered for you. It says, this is my life that I surrender to you. It says, which is given for you. Do this always in remembrance of me. Every single time you sit at the table, remember, I gave you life. I'm providing sustenance for you to sustain that life, but the eternal life, I have given that to you. Luke chapter 22, verse 19, New Living Translation. Now, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let me again apply this. Therefore, whoever eats this life, whatever takes this life in an unworthy manner, actually, you're taking life to destroy life, not to have life. Because anybody who takes the gift of God and does misuse it, it is going against God. So, the body is the life. 1 Corinthians 11, 27 to 28. 28 says, that is why you should examine yourselves before you eat, before you take this life, before you receive, I shouldn't say take, but before you receive this gift of life and drink the cup. Brothers and sisters, I have throughout the many years of ministry, I have seen people say, oh, I read the 1 Corinthians 11, 27, 28, and I have not repented of some sins, I'm not going to take communion. 3 months go by, and the stage is the same. Oh, I'm not going to take communion because, I'm still eating some things that I'm not supposed to. I'm still doing things that I'm supposed to. Oh, I'm still doing this. I'm working on the Sabbath. Oh, I'm doing this. And always people say, I'm going to postpone when I take life. You know what happens when life is being offered to you? And you say, not today. You are dying little by little. The same thing was when it's time for you to eat, but instead of eating, you say, no, I'm going to fast. And you do not take them. You do not take and keep passing. And your body still starts dying little by little because your body is needing nutrition. So brothers and sisters, take life. Receive life. Embrace life. Enjoy life. Keep life, not for today, but forever, because that's the purpose of us remembering this wonderful gift. This is what we do. This is what we celebrate. This is what is the purpose. I believe this slide may be in the wrong place, but let me see. Yes, the communion. We supposed to have here the part that goes to the foot washing first. Let me see. Yes, Christ's invitation. In John, verse 13, verse 12 to 17, and I'm reading from the New International Version, says, when he, Jesus Christ, life himself, had finished washing their feet, the disciples' feet, he says that he put on his clothes and returned to his place. And he asked this question, do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. And he continued by saying, you call me a teacher and Lord, and rightly so, because that's what I am. Now that I am your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. That was verse 16. Verse 17 says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So that implies that what happens if I choose not to do them? The opposite, right? It says, you will be blessed if you do them. Meaning, you won't be blessed if you do not take part. At this time, it is time for us to go through our foot washing. A person who has been baptized, this is Jesus talking to Peter. Remember, Peter says, no, no, master, you're not going to wash my feet. You know, you're a master and I'm a servant. That's not the way it happens. The servant washes is all the way around. And Jesus told Peter, unless I wash your feet, you have no part with me. Basically, he was saying, you have no communion with me. And sadly, many people think that communion is just a piece of bread and a cup of grape juice. That is just part of the communion. The communion has three elements. And the first one is the foot washing. Why is the foot washing? Let me, for the benefit of some of you, let me say this to you. The foot washing is an opportunity for you, just like what Jesus Christ said to Peter. You have been washed already. You have been baptized. All you need is just a little bit. Why? Because in our journey, even after we are baptized, we catch on some dust on our feet. We step in things that we're not supposed to. And so the foot washing, it is a commitment, a renewal of our baptismal vows. So as you participate in the foot washing, think about your baptism. Think about that day when you surrender your life to Christ. And so when you're washing your feet, you're saying, by the grace of God, I'm clean because of God's grace. I'm still walking with Christ. So you just remove a little bit of dust so you can become clean as you come to the table before the Lord. So at this time, let me announce to you here that this is the way we're going to be divided. On the multipurpose room here, overflow room that we call, the women will be going to that room. The kinder, which is the class on the corner, way there in the back, the kinder, that is when the men will be meeting. And then the following class, the last one to this side, or the other side there, I don't know if I'm making it clear or not,
yeah.
That is for the families, okay, for the families, because probably it's the large group. I have one more observation to make. Some people are concerned and says, is that okay for me to participate with somebody else? Or if somebody here does not have a family member present, please do not leave because you don't have somebody to participate. I will wash your feet, okay? And if it's a female, we'll find another female to wash your feet. But we do not want anybody to leave here because you don't have a family member, because we are family. If there is one thing we hear this message today, is that we are the body of Christ. We all are part of the same. We are the life. All that you do, once that you finish washing your feet, make sure that you wash your hands properly, and don't put your hand in your mouth, because that's not a good good, even if you're washing your own feet, it's not good for you to put your hand in your mouth. And so there'll be a hand sanitizer there too for you to, so please be safe, and let's now at this time with reverence go to those rooms, please.